7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo! Hey there, everybody. We are back, and we are Pony Cake Sports. And as always, I am joined with Tom and Tim. Guys, how's it going? How are you?
It's been a terrible start of the night after what I just had to listen to.
All right. I got to get something off my chest here, okay? Because we sat down and we're like, you know what? Let's listen to the brothers of the network, right? We can call them the brothers of the network, but also the competition. We like some friendly competition. Let's listen to what sage advice they have. And we heard about hairless people, that everywhere is hairless. We heard about everyone looks the same from behind. We heard $20 is $20. I got a wooden
15.
Oh, 15 is 15, you cheap fuck. I got something for you guys. I got a would you rather for you. Would you rather listen to these guys, these jamokes, do another podcast for 2 hours or sit on a cactus?
Cactus.
Cactus for sure. I just imagine that these guys, there's guys on phones or whatever, but I think these guys are honestly just in a room jerking each other off, trying to remember whose depth chart is whose depth chart. They don't know who's the Bengals, who's the Browns. What the fuck is going on? Where are we? We got balls? Get a fucking brain.
I don't even know what to say after that.
I'm fired up, man.
I know.
As I said 2 weeks ago, when we went live for the very first time, WBLZ contacted us and said, Pony Keg Sports, please, please, won't you come onto our network and save us from the fantasy despair that we are currently in? And we stopped and we looked at each other and we said, gentlemen, we have a civic duty to go on live radio and save everyone, give them actual fantasy advice to build a fantasy championship caliber team. And that is why we are here. Pony Keg Sports is taking over WBLZ, and we are the premier show. There is no doubt. There is no question. The best show. We got balls. Eat it, suckers.
That is one way to start it off with a fired up Tim, of all people.
It was a great way to start the show. Now I'm pumped up. My head doesn't hurt anymore from that nonsense. I'm ready to go. Let's get into this.
I don't want to say I'm at a loss for words, but dude, you have gone ham.
Have you ever accidentally turned on like Channel 4 and getting like got like the Hispanic channel and
I
it's
like
a soap opera at like 10 a.m. like on a day off?
Yeah.
And you just hear that's what it sounded like. I've literally heard better fantasy talk between chickens in a chicken coop. There was nothing there. There was nothing of value. And they want to compete with us? They want to compete with Pony Keg Sports? Better step up your games, you son of a bitch.
Bend the knee.
Again, you guys can always find us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tim, at Pony Keg Tom. Email us anytime, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Check us out on our website, ponykegsports.com. Do yourselves a favor. Check out all those and hit us up. So first off, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. It is going to be the playoff predictor on playoffpredictor.com. We did the NFC last week. We are going to be doing the AFC this week. And then later on, we'll be talking about some other stuff that happened with the preseason games and kind of go from there.
Preseason, breaking news, a little bit of fantasy talk here and there. And then next week, everyone make sure to tune in next week. I know everyone's ramping up to their drafts. Next week's going to be an all fantasy focused, everything, breakdown, everything you will need for your 2017 fantasy football draft.
For sure. Let's go ahead and let's start off with the North Division of the AFC. And what do you guys want to start off with, the worst team in the division?
Well, yeah, let's start with the worst.
All right, what do you have, Tom? Again, we do not know what each other have written down, so this will be the first time we compare. Tom, what do you got?
I have the Cleveland Browns. I have them improving quite a bit, going up to a record of 4-12, a big time improvement from that 1-15 disgusting record last year. I like what they have been doing. They've been building a team through the draft. They have been getting tons of draft picks and just building the roster the right way. They made the right decision of drafting Myles Garrett with the first overall pick in the draft. He was the best player in this draft class. I like what they have been doing. Expect them to be in more football games and expect Isaiah Crowell to feast this fantasy season. He will not be held under 200 rushing attempts like he was last year. It is his time to shine. He is a number one running back this year. And 8-Bit Bros, Duke Johnson is fantasy relevant. Doesn't have to be just PPR. He is going to get his touches. People, you get him in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, and he's a fine running back for your team.
Yeah, speaking of Duke Johnson, talking about him, he is getting a lot of looks out in the slot, a lot of looks as a wide receiver. Yeah, they did draft 4 or 5 wide receivers last year, but you got to remember, Terrell Pryor is gone, Barn Dog is gone. They have Njoku there, but at the same time, he's not going to get every single target thrown his way. And then you also still have Corey Coleman. But Duke Johnson is a big part of that offense. They want to get him involved. He is definitely fantasy relevant, so be targeting him later in drafts. I'm not going to be saying 8th round, 9th round, something like that. I'd be looking for him, like you said, 12th, 13th, 14th round, around there. He's definitely worth a look.
A little bit more on Isaiah Crowell, which a lot of people are, just because he's a Brown, are kind of poo-pooing. But
he's not a Bengal?
No, he's not a Bengal, actually. You know, you mentioned him in... He has non-PPR, he's going to be a top 10 running back, for sure, in my opinion. You mentioned the losses of Terrell Pryor and the Barn Dog, Gary Barnridge. There's no one else in that red zone right now. Njoku, maybe, you know, they have a few wide receivers, maybe, but he's going to get a ton of touches. Offensive line is drastically improved, so I have him as a top 10 running back in non-PPR leagues, probably top 13 running back in a PPR league. My Browns prediction, I had them at 3-13. I have them potentially beating the Chicago Bears. I have them winning one division game. They have some opportunities there throughout. I like the Cleveland Browns being last in division, 3-13, and you know, somewhere around the 3rd to 5th pick.
I'm going to guess the one division game is against the Bengals.
Probably, yeah.
I have them 4-12 as well. I have them one win against the Bengals in the division. But I do have them a couple other games, winning against the Jaguars, the Bears. Oh no, I actually have them losing to the Bears. The Bengals is one, and I'm drawing a blank on some of the other. Oh, the Titans is another big one that I think is going to be an upset. So
I will say, as much as I knocked him in our build up to the season, and I did not want my Chicago Bears to draft him, DeShone Kizer has looked fantastic.
He has.
I do not see any reason why the Browns just wouldn't start him. They don't have any reason not to.
At this point, at this point right now, I could definitely see Kizer being the starter. Tom, thoughts?
I think it's going to be Brock, in all honesty. Right now, he's getting most of the first team reps. Kizer has looked good, but I think Hugh Jackson is under the impression they're not going to compete for a Super Bowl this year. Let him sit, learn the system. Well, yeah.
I hope he's under that impression.
There's probably like 5 to 8 teams that completely get that they have no chance at winning the Super Bowl. There's plenty of teams that always think they'll have a chance, and the Browns shouldn't be that. And that's why I think they're going to start Osweiler. Give Kizer a chance to sit, learn the system, learn what it takes to be an NFL quarterback.
Here's my thought process with one DeShone Kizer. You have Cody Kessler, who was the number one. He's all the way down to number 3. Josh, you and I were talking about that pre-show. He just kind of is what he is. The Osweiler is the same thing. He kind of is what he is.
Oh, yeah.
So why not just start Kizer? You have the backup there at 2 if something were to happen. Well, let him just go out there. You don't care. Say, hey, we want to develop you in-game. We want to develop you with experience.
But you don't think the Bears should do that with Trubisky? It's the same situation?
No, it's not. It's not the same situation.
Pretty sure most people understand what you're getting out of Mike Glenn. It's the same situation with Brock Osweiler.
It's not the same situation because, as bad as he's been in the preseason, Mike Glennon is supposed to be an actual quarterback who can go out there, make the big throws, and people are realistically thinking the Bears are going to have 5 to 7 wins this year with Mike Glennon at quarterback because he is that effective of a quarterback.
I
No one believes that with Cody Kessler or Brock Osweiler.
To be honest, I think that Mike Glennon should be the starter for the Bears, and I think Brock Osweiler should be the starter for the Browns. If Osweiler was not on the team and it was just Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer, I think it'd be best for Cody Kessler to be the starter as well, because it's somebody that's been with the offense, it's been with the offensive line, it's been with those running backs, and you still give that rookie time to develop, which does make sense, which is the same route that Trubisky would be going as well. It's not the same situation. They both have very good lines. The running back core, I think, for the Bears is a little bit higher up overall,
sure.
Because of Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, and then you have Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. They are very similar, but at the same time, they are a little bit different. But they are still not very good teams. So in my opinion, you draft this quarterback in the second round, you just do the sit-and-wait approach. But Kizer has looked really, really good. But let a quarterback actually go ahead and run that offense and see where it goes. That has been with the system.
It seems like to me that the offense that he is in Cleveland, is similar to what he was running at Notre Dame. Another reason why he's okay to immediately step in and just go for it. Osweiler to Glennon, is with as bad as Glennon has been, with how much I despise Mike Glennon, it's a no contest. Glennon is a superior choice to Kessler or the Brossweiler. That's why I have say, you know what? Let Kizer play it out. See what you have. And you know what? Worst case scenario, you're bad again, and you're going to get one of those top three quarterbacks.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to the next team. Third in the division, who do we have?
I have the Baltimore Ravens. I have them finishing a pretty good 9-7. I really like what they've done with the defense. They addressed the defensive side of the football in the draft, upgraded the secondary a little bit in free agency. They've kind of hit that injury bug yet again. We've seen Kenneth Dixon, a guy who we were all pretty high on, get injured. He was already suspended for 4 games. I'm a little nervous about Flacco. Let's see if he's going to be healthy. Still not playing. Hasn't played in a preseason game yet. The Ravens, I think they did enough on defense. They're going to be able to stop the run, play good defense, and that it's going to give them a chance to be a quality football team this year.
I'm going to go second, and I have the Baltimore Ravens as well. 7-9, though, 3-3 in the division, and kind of the same reason you said, they stacked up on defense. Offense, I think, is going to be a little lackluster. They have their new number one wide receiver. They have Perriman still there. It's just not enough offensive firepower, in my opinion, and with Dixon getting hurt, or not hurt, I'm sorry, suspended, and you're going to have...
And hurt,
yes, and you have Terrence West there, but is he the answer? It sounds like Buck Allen is getting a lot of run. Danny Woodhead, year after year, he's had great starts to the season, and then he ends up getting hurt. But at the same time, those guys are very fantasy relevant, but I just see the Ravens turning out to be 7-9.
You had seven. What do you have the Ravens at? 7-9 as well?
9-7.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's a strong outing for the AFC North, in your opinion. I am going with the Cincinnati Bengals at 7-9 for a plethora of reasons. I know that I honestly believe that your guys' love for Joe Mixon has gotten in the way of this as well. Not only fantasy decisions, but their season in a whole. Losing two of their starting offensive linemen and not really replacing them with anything but what they already had is a big miss for me. The suspension of Pac-Man Jones, was it 2 games?
One.
It was 1 game? So 1 game is still... Their defense has shown the aggressive immaturity over these last 3 years that they're not going anywhere. They're not going to grow. To me... The Cincinnati Bengals are primed for a season with Marvin Lewis as their head coach where it finally hits. I said this, I believe, 4 weeks ago, and you guys both kind of looked at me like, what? Marvin Lewis is on the hot seat this year, in my opinion, for the Cincinnati Bengals. If they have a bad year, I think this is finally the year that he's going to get the axe. He brought them out of the terrible Cincinnati Bengals, you know, consistently awful Cleveland Browns-esque style that they were in. That's great. He should be rewarded for that, but he's been given chance after chance after chance. They have some weapons, but I just don't feel the offensive line is going to struggle mightily. I don't think, as much as you guys love Joe Mixon, I don't think they have it figured out yet of who they're going to have as a running back between Even Bernard's still getting some play. Jeremy Hill getting play. And Mixon, who probably should be the bell cow for the team, getting all the play. AJ Green is having health issues. To me, this is a perfect storm, even with Baltimore's injuries. I'll talk about that next. I think this is a perfect storm for the Bengals to have a very, very disappointing season.
All right. I disagree with you, but
I do too.
I'll get to that when I do my other picks. But second in the division, Tom, how are you feeling?
I have the Cincinnati Bengals finishing 9-7 as well, finishing an impressive 4-2 in their division. I really like the Bengals draft. Look, they addressed the offensive side of the football with the first couple picks. They got Mr. John Ross, the fastest man ever at the combine. They got my brother from another mother, Joe Mixon, who has a chance to be one of the best running backs in the NFL. He is going to get that chance right now on paper. He's not listed as that guy. Jeremy Hill is getting a lot of first-team reps. But watch them on tape. Completely different players. Joe Mixon is far superior as a player, as an athlete. Don't judge him by his off-the-field issues. He's a changed man. But I also like what they did on the defense side of the football, getting Mr. Jordan Willis, a good pass rusher, and Carl Lawson as well, another solid pass rusher. Two fresh bodies in there that is going to help that defense out. And I think Andy Dalton's good enough, as long as they don't get that injury bug again where Tyler Eifert, A.J. Green are injured. That offense is going to be explosive. It's going to get them a lot of victories, and that defense is good enough, in my eyes, to make them a playoff caliber team and compete for the AFC North.
Go ahead, Josh.
No, you go ahead.
No, well, I want to break down something, so you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right, dickhead. My biggest question to you, Tom, just for the Bengals in particular, I know all of our thoughts on Joe Mixon. We all believe that he is the best running back on this team. This is why I wanted you to go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Thank you.
So, the Bengals, and it's very good for them finishing second in the division. It's not bad. But they added, like you said, a John Ross, a Joe Mixon, a Josh Malone. Don't even forget him. That's a lot of offensive firepower that they're adding to an already very explosive offense. They have a Tyler Eifert. They got the Brandon LaFell. They have an A.J. Green. They have Tyler Boyd still. They have a lot of offensive players to go around now. Tim's point, bringing up the offensive line being a little lackluster, not adding anything to it besides just promoting from in-house. The thing is, we saw how the Arizona Cardinals were, and we saw how David Johnson was used, and we saw a lot of screen passes, a lot of dump-off passes, a lot of arrow routes, a lot of little slants and stuff with David Johnson, moving him out to the flat and doing a bunch of different stuff with him. I see the Bengals, and they can kind of do the same thing with Joe Mixon. Do I think Jeremy Hill is going to be possibly, quote-unquote, the guy around the goal line? It's a very strong possibility. But the thing is, your point with the offensive line being a struggle, I think that's why they're going to lean more on Joe Mixon, where he can run the ball, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Giovanni Bernard, can he do the same thing Joe Mixon can? Yes, but Joe Mixon does it better. So that's where I was going to go with the Bengals. Me, personally, I did not have them there. I have them finishing at number one in the division, so we'll talk about that in a minute.
Woo!
Yeah, you like that.
That's bold.
It is bold.
That's a hot take.
And then that's kind of where I was going to go with it all, and I guess I'll just continue off with that. I have them number one just for the fact of those reasons alone. They have so many offensive weapons, and the big question is if they stay healthy, if they can stay healthy all year. I think they will, and if anything happens to Andy Dalton, they still have A.J. McCarron. A lot of question marks on that offensive side, but a lot of offensive firepower, and I think the Bengals, even defensive side of the ball, will be just fine.
If I was on the 8-Bit Bros, they'd be a reputable show, Josh, but that's just not how things are, okay? My question to you guys about the Cincinnati Bengals, I know we all say this stuff about Joe Mixon. My biggest question and one of the biggest reasons I am putting Marvin Lewis on the hot seat preseason, does Marvin Lewis realize what he has talent-wise and put Joe Mixon in a situation to completely run the table at the running back position? That's the season for them.
After week three, I think so, yes. I think you're going to see the first 3 weeks, you're going to see a lot of bit of Jeremy Hill. You're going to see a little bit of Joe Mixon. I don't want to say a little bit, but it'll be like an even split. But then after week three, I think you're going to see the Joe Mixon show. Don't draft him thinking he's going to be your running back one. Please don't do that right away. Know that it's going to take a couple weeks. If you're going to do that, draft a Jacquizz Rodgers. Draft somebody else. I don't care. Draft somebody with him. He's not going to be your running back one for the start of the season. Please be smart about it.
I have the Baltimore Ravens at number two. While I understand what you guys are saying, their injury bug, Harbaugh always seems to find a way to get things together. Joe Flacco, with how mediocre of a quarterback he is, always seems to handle his business. With, even with the injury of Kenneth Dixon, the Danny Woodhead, Terrence West, and
Buck Allen
combination can be something that can work for them. They added one Jeremy Maclin in the offseason, which neither of you mentioned, which is a big thing.
I did say they're new number one. I didn't say him by name.
But regardless, someone there for Joe Flacco that he can trust, that he probably hasn't had since Anquan Boldin was there, right?
Yeah.
You have people there in place, and that defense, with how they drafted, it's going to be – there's going to be numerous weeks where you see, you know – 10 penalties on the defense, you know, 15 yard penalties.
Probably all by Tim Williams.
Yeah, they're going to make a bunch of dumb decisions. They're young, but they are going to be mean. And what you've noticed in this AFC North is the meanest defense seems to keep itself up there. And that's why it keep the team up there. That's what I think is going to happen. There's one prolific offense in this division. Josh, how you don't have them at number one is beyond me, and you can explain that here in a second. But the Ravens at two, I think, is the safe bet. They have three running backs that can get them through. They're not great. They're not garbage. They have wide receivers now that can get them through. They have a quarterback that's won them a Super Bowl that can get them through. This is the Baltimore Ravens that we know, and I accept their weaknesses for what they are a little bit more than what I accept the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's why I have them at second.
I have the Steelers second in the division, and
I had them at 9-7.
Okay, I have the Steelers second in the division, and I have them 7-9 again, tied with the Ravens. I know, believe me, call me crazy.
You're a fucking idiot.
I have them 7-9. I have them beating the Browns. I have them losing against the Vikings. I have them destroying the Bears. Losing to the Ravens, this could easily be a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss for the next couple games here. They play the Chiefs, they play the Lions all the way up until their bye week. It is a very tough string of games. I gave them a win against the Packers in week 12, so they're a different team when they play on the road, bro. That's all I have to say. So
they're a different team when they play on the road. They play two of the very worst teams in the NFL on the road in their first four games. You're worried. You have the Steelers losing to the Browns or the Bears.
I said no.
Okay. So those are their road games. So when they are at home, right?
Yeah.
The only tough road game is interdivision against the Ravens. I'll give you that. Their first four games. How do you have them finishing?
First four games? I just said they have a win, a loss, a win, a loss.
So you have them losing to the Vikings at home?
Yes.
Even though they're a dominant home team?
Yep. Okay. That's just how I feel. That's how the season's going to start for them. Vikings defense is really good, and I feel like the Vikings defense, with the addition of Dalvin Cook, and you have Bradford coming into his own, having a full offseason with this team, I feel like that offense could be all right.
Yeah, we are totally on different pages, different levels right now with the Steelers. I think they're going to be one of the most dominant teams this year, in all honesty. I have them finishing 12-4, 4-2 in the division, and the number two overall seed in the AFC. You look at their draft. Look, they added TJ Watt. A lot of people were questioning him, but he tested out of the building at the combine. Looked like an elite level athlete, and that's what he is. He fits perfectly in that 3-4 system. They got Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going to be a little shocked at this pick, but he's going to be that quality slot receiver, third or fourth receiver for them right away. The Cam Sutton pick, a nice slot corner, and James Conner. It's a big-time pick for them. Le'Veon Bell needs a competent backup with D'Angelo Williams leaving that team. He's a Pittsburgh kid. But you just look at this offense, what they have with Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown. The Killer Bees are back, and we haven't seen this offense where all four of them play together. It's going to happen this year, and it's going to be an extremely explosive year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A very dominant year.
Week two, Big Ben gets hurt.
I have,
That's pretty much what you're saying with your
prediction. At it.
You have to really think he gets hurt. Otherwise, you're just freaking nuts.
Right, and that's where I'm closer on the same page as Tom. Listen, Big Ben always gets hurt anyway. I don't doubt he's going to get hurt,
yeah.
But he's gonna miss maybe a game, and he's going to play through it. You look at their
when he gets hurt week two and misses four games.
You look like they're out of division. Like, even if he missed four games, they still will finish where I have them at 11-5. Even if he missed four games. Listen, they're out of division road games. Browns, the Bears, the Chiefs. That's their first tough road game. Lions on the road, right? I'm okay with that. And then the Colts. So the Colts and the Chiefs are the only road games out of division that I'm worried about.
They'll kill the Colts.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. They play the Texans on the road. I'm not worried about that. Even with the Texans. I have them at 11-5. I have them also at 4-2 in the division. I actually have them as the 3 seed, Tom. But I do not see how you have, with Le'Veon Bell, even regardless of who is at quarterback, with a running back like Le'Veon Bell, and with weapons alone, regardless of anyone else who's playing, Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, secondaries are going to struggle all year long. If Martavis Bryant stays out of trouble, those two are the best combo in the NFL, hands down. Hands down, better than anyone else.
Is he fully reinstated yet?
Not yet.
But he will be.
Maybe.
He will. I would hope he's not, because he's on Tom's fantasy team, and I have Antonio Brown, so if he's not, it only helps me. But we know how this works. He's going to be reinstated. Under 500, Josh, I think, is just obnoxious.
We'll see.
Obnoxious, sir.
We will see.
Erroneous.
I think he's going to get hurt Big Ben wise, and I don't know if Martavis Bryant's going to be fully reinstated at the beginning of the year.
I
could easily see them saying missing four games. Dude, there is so many possibilities to this.
Get your head out of
And that's where I'm
going
to go with. So, we are going to move on to the South Division. Tom, go ahead and start us off.
Finishing in fourth place, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kind of used to that over the years. They've been picking in the top 10, seems year after year. But right now I have them finishing 6-10, 2-4 in the division, mainly because of their quarterback issues. Right now they still don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback. Henny and
Bortles.
Chad Henny and Bortles.
Yeah, it's not good. And last time Chad Henny started more than, I think he started 15 games. It was 3 or 4 years ago. He threw for like 3,200 yards. That's really not saying much. They did invest in Leonard Fournette. This team wants to run the football, but that O-line is still garbage. Cam Robinson is not going to fix that O-line, especially they're having him play left tackle. I don't think he's a left tackle in the NFL. Just look how Ereck Flowers has been playing for the New York Giants. That's the type of player Cam Robinson is. I am not sold on this team yet. They have a fantastic defense. You have to love what they have added with that defense, but they're not going to win the division with just a defense.
I will go second. I will say a couple things. Number one, we did this before the Jaguars started off to such a terrible preseason, so I will say that. But the team that I have in last place are the Houston Texans. Yeah, I have them as the last place team. They start with a favorable schedule. Four of their first six games are at home. So that's obviously a big win for them. But you talk about bad quarterback play. Tom Savage is their week one quarterback with Deshaun Watson, who has underwhelmed me in his preseason games, as their backup. Their defense has shown weakness last year. People can't stay healthy. I do not like what the Texans are bringing to the table. They have some tough games this year on the road. I don't like the fact that they have to go to Seattle. They have to go to Baltimore. They have to go. They have some tough games. I don't like the Houston Texans at all this year. I don't like Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson. I feel like they're going to do what the Bears and other teams with rookie quarterbacks just aren't going to do. They're not going to make a quarterback competition out of this. It's already a quarterback competition in Houston. I feel like you're going to see a lot of flip-flopping back and forth. Savage might have a bad week. Watson will come in. Then Watson will, you know, get pulled and back forth. Lamar Miller can never get his stuff going. There's just a lot of confusion. Houston doesn't have an identity right now, and that's what scares me with them. They've always had the defense as their identity. Their defense is wearing out. J.J. Watt is wearing out. I don't like them. 3-13.
What?
Wow. For the Houston Texans?
1-5 in the division.
Wow.
That's crazy. I like it, though. I hope that happens. That's nuts.
All right. Well, my last place team in the division is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have them finishing 3-13, 2-4 in the division. The two wins I have, or the three wins I have for them are the, I think, one against the Titans, one against the Colts, and I don't even remember who the other one is for.
Doesn't matter. Carry on, Jeeves.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is with the Jacksonville Jaguars here, already a quarterback controversy. I think we're going to see Chad Henne come out as the starter. I think Blake Bortles is done in Jacksonville. I could be completely wrong. They could just still give him the possibility or the chance. The only thing that makes me want to give more wins to Jacksonville is the fact that I think that defense is turning out to be very, very good. But honestly, that team, if they went with Chad Henne, I feel like that team would be better than with Blake Bortles. I think Chad Henne is actually a better quarterback than Blake Bortles is at this time. And it's funny, I was listening to the game on TV, and they said that Chad Henne is the only quarterback in 2 years that has not played a snap in the NFL in an actual game. He actually took one snap, and I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, he took one snap last year, one snap, and it was a QB kneel. And they took Bortles out for that play. He took a knee, and as Henne was running out to the field to go do it, everybody was clapping and cheering because the Jaguars were getting their asses beat. And then he took a knee, and that was the end of the half. So he has taken one snap NFL. But yeah, that's where I have the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'll get into my Jaguars breakdown in a minute.
In third place, I got the Houston Texans. I am finishing 7-9, 3-3. A little bit of a down year for them overall. Look, the draft, I like what they did. They needed a new franchise quarterback. Tom Savage is not the answer. Deshaun Watson has looked all right. This dude's a winner. Watch what he did in college. Watch what he was able to do against that vaunted Alabama defense. One of the only quarterbacks past few years who's been able to do anything to that defense. But I don't think he's going to play much this year. I think he's going to be sitting unless Tom Savage completely shits the bed and plays like Blake Bortles has played the last few years for the Jaguars. But I like the Zach Cunningham pick in the second round. Add depth to that linebacking core. They needed that. Deonta Foreman, he's going to help this offense out a lot. Lamar Miller is not that back who should be getting 250-plus touches. Those numbers are going to go down. Foreman's going to help that offense out. I'm really nervous about the defense, like you said, Tim. J.J. Watt, that injury last year was a big deal. It's hard for players to come back from a back injury like that and be that dominant again. He's been so dominant 2 or 3 years, just the best defender in the NFL. You just don't see that too often, and I don't think it's going to continue, and we'll see if Jadeveon Clowney can stay healthy as well. Last year was the first time he has been healthy, was extremely dominant, but we'll see with that.
Would you have them finishing it?
7-9.
I have the Indianapolis Colts finishing 8-8 in third place in the division.
Jesus Christ.
And I don't know if Andrew Luck is going to be 100% healthy. We had this done before, you know, so all the news right now is he may or may not be able to play week one. And I feel like that team goes on or without Andrew Luck. And as good as Frank Gore has been, and as good as Marlon Mack, the rookie running back that they drafted, has been, I just feel like that offensive side of the ball goes by the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah.
So
they'd probably be a two-win team without Luck.
Yeah, so I feel like Luck, I don't think he's going to start on the PUP list. There's a very strong possibility that he misses week one and possibly week two, and then we'll kind of go from there. But if he misses those 2 weeks, then I have them losing against the Raiders. I'm looking at the wrong one. I have him losing against the Rams if he doesn't play. And then against the Cardinals, I have that as a loss as well. You better hope he's back by week three, because that should be an easy, I shouldn't say an easy tune-up game for him, but they play the Browns week three. So And the Rams are a tough team. So if there's no Andrew Luck there, it's going to be a tough season for them. Yeah.
Guys, my third place team is the Tennessee Titans. I have the Tennessee Titans finishing at 5-11. I feel like this is a drop back year for them. I was not fond of how they handled their draft. I feel like right now they have too many cooks in the kitchen. They don't really know, again, another team that doesn't really know what they're doing with their identity. The addition of Corey Davis isn't a terrible one, but I feel like they had other areas that they could have addressed. They're trying to add more weapons for Marcus Mariota. That's fine. That's all good and well. But their second round, or their number 18 overall pick, Adoree Jackson, this is one of the worst picks, in my opinion, of the 2017 NFL draft. There were numerous corners who were much better. I know he has big play in the kick return, but I just don't like what Tennessee is doing. I don't like their defense. Their defense is probably the worst in the division, in my opinion, even behind the Indianapolis Colts. And there's offenses in this division and throughout their schedule that can score more than they can. And without a defense that can hold up, I don't like it. They have opportunities down the road. I like the draft pick of Jayon Brown from UCLA in the, what was that, fifth round. I was fond of that, but you're going to see a slight, where you're going to see improvement from one, the Buccaneers quarterback. Why am I blanking
right now? Jameis
Winston. Thank you, Jameis Winston. And even though I don't have the Buccaneers finishing high, I still have them at 7-9. You're going to see a step back for Marcus Mariota, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I don't like it, but it is. They are interesting points, I guess.
I have the Titans second in the division at 9-7. I get what you're saying, Tim. The reason I like the Titans, and I think they're going to be division contenders, that offensive line, and that they can run the football. Running the football can fix your defense. It makes you able to control the clock, control the game flow, and that will help that defense out a lot. And everyone is all over Marcus Mariota this year. People forget, never finished a full season. He's under 500 as a quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, he has been dominant in the red zone. What was that stat, Tim? 33 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Something like that. Yeah.
Inside the red zone, yep. For Marcus Mariota. Yep. He's a very good quarterback, but we've seen quarterbacks that in their first, second year who were able to carry their team and make them a playoff team, and Mariota hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't even been able to get his team over 500, so that's why I'm not super high on him this year, and I don't think he's ready to lead this team to the playoffs.
I have Tennessee Titans 8-8, third in the division as well, or second in the division, and yeah, kind of the same thing you guys said. I thought the Corey Davis selection was, it was a very interesting selection. I would have liked Corey Davis on any other team besides the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. So I think Corey Davis is a special talent, a special wide receiver. And to see him go to the Tennessee Titans, I was a little underwhelmed. But the Tennessee Titans did add a lot of offensive weapons. They added Corey Davis. They added Tywan Taylor. They added the tight end, Jonah Smith. There's a lot of guys that they did add on the offensive side, but they have proven players there already. It's like they're drafting these guys to get ready to replace them. We're not going to see a ton of Rishard Matthews and Corey Davis and Tywan Taylor and who's the kid rookie from last year that was so high on. I'm drawing a blank on his name now. But you're not going to see all four or five or six of those guys out on the field at the same time. So it's very interesting on what they did. And I actually like the Adoree Jackson pick. He's not the greatest corner, but I don't like where they drafted him.
He's a bad corner.
18 was way too high. He should have been a second round pick. But I mean, I do like him being added to Tennessee, but I just think it was a wasted pick at 18.
Guys, second in this division, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know you guys have them, are very down on them. I understand their quarterback issues. But with that being said, you have to look at what the AFC South is. And they are a division that is based on defense. The Jacksonville Jaguars now have the best defense in the NFL. All of these teams are going to struggle and be scared when they're seeing Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye in the secondary. The running games that you're mentioning, they're not going to be able to do that against, you know, with Calais Campbell, with Miles Jack, with the guys that the Jacksonville Jaguars have intact. The Jaguars, their end game is, and you know, I understand their coach right now is having a fucking stroke. You know, he hates his quarterbacks. Doug Marone has come out and said it's, you know, a full-on, you know, competition. That's why I think Henny's going to end up getting the nod, because he's going to be able to just be the quarterback that listens to what the coach says and hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette. Slow the game down with your running back and let your defense basically pick up all the pieces. That's what the Jaguars are going to do. I still have them only at 9-7. I don't think that they're going to dominate by any means, but they still have pieces there. They're building. That I believe didn't Cam Robinson? They're all like he got hurt, right? Didn't Cam get hurt or no?
Not that I know.
No, well then that's even better. That proves even more. They drafted Leonard Fournette, and then they added a big body at left tackle who can come in there and right away add to the running game. Leonard Fournette is going to be a top 10 fantasy running back this year. He's going, as long as he can stay healthy, he has everything that's needed to go out there. He has no competition. I don't care what any other podcast says. TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory aren't anything. There's no substance there. Leonard Fournette's going to be the bell cow. He's going to slow the game down for them, and he's going to let Jacksonville Jaguars, you forget that they have a guy named AR-15 who seems to be pretty good at football. He's still going to get his. They still have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. To me, that defense, with the weapons that they have on offense, even without having a quarterback, they're the second best team.
I hope the Jacksonville Jaguars suck and they get Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, or Sam Darnold. So I would love an offense with one of those quarterbacks on that team. So.
What about a Mr. Alex Smith?
That would be interesting as well. I think, were you the one that brought that up? Yeah, that would be interesting as well. That would be definitely an upgrade, and he manages the game. So
they're hoping that Chad Henne is able to come out and be in the Alex Smith of this team. If Chad Henne can be the Alex Smith of this team, they will be over 500.
Number one in the division, Tom, who you got?
I have my Indianapolis Colts. Might be a little bit of a homer pick, but I have them 10-6. Got them 5-1 in the division. Have them losing to the Texans week 9 as their only division loss. But right now, I think they have the best quarterback in the division, Andrew Luck. We will see. Josh brought up earlier, how much time is he going to miss? Most likely, it is looking like he might miss week 1. But last Monday, there was reports that he was seen throwing 30-yard passes. It was low velocity, so we'll see. He is progressing. He is getting healthier. And Pagano and Ballard and Irsay all have said that he's not going to need much time once he is healthy. So hopefully we get some good news coming up. But I just like the Colts mainly because of Luck and what he can do. He's a game changer, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think Chris Big Dick Ballard has done a good enough job on that defensive side of the football and what they did in the draft. I like what they did with the additions of Malik Hooker, Quincy Wilson, Terrell Basham. They did a good job in the draft and need that offensive line to get shored up. But Ryan Kelly, that's a big-time loss, and we made these picks before that happened. That might have made a difference in my selection, but 10-6 for the Colts.
I have them at 11-5, and I am not a big Colts fan, but Luck's going to play this year, right? Regardless, yep, if he misses 1, 2, 3 games, it doesn't matter. Their first 4 games, 2 of them at home, Cardinals and Browns, and then they play the Rams on the road, which I think is a winnable game for them week 1. The Seahawks is going to be a tough game in week 4. But with that being said, they have, you know, they're going to have Frank Gore, and Marlon Mack is going to play a big role for them. They still have Eugene Hilton, who's going to go out there and put up big numbers. Dante Moncrief, if God willing, he can ever stay healthy, he's going to put up big numbers for them. They're still the kings of this division, in my opinion. The improvements that they made in the draft on the defensive side of the ball are going to immediate effects. They're not like you have to wait a little bit. These are guys who are going to immediately step in and be a factor for them. I feel like I don't feel like any other team in this division can really push the Colts right now. They're all kind of questioning who they are and trying to find a name for themselves.
I have the Houston Texans as the number one team in the division, 9-7, just one game above the Titans and the Colts. And, I mean, we kind of already talked about it, so we don't really need to keep harping on it. But I just feel like their defense is going to do enough to be able to carry this team into the postseason. So I don't think it matters who the quarterback is, as long as it's decent enough quarterback play, regardless if it's a crappy Tom Savage or if it's going to be Deshaun Watson. I think it'll be Watson second half of the season. I just think he's more of a dynamic player, regardless if he's a better quarterback at this point in time or not. We don't know. So Savage is the quarterback to start it out, and we'll see where they go from there. But I think their defense will do enough.
Yeah, we saw last year what the Texans could do with terrible, absolutely terrible quarterback play. So you made a lot of valid points, Josh. If that defense is healthy and playing up to the caliber that they were last year, they're going to be a dominant force in the AFC South and be contending.
Iffy Josh, that's your new name.
Iffy.
If and butts were candy and nuts, we'd have a merry fucking Christmas, but not going to play out that way, sir.
We'll see. All right, we all good? Let's go. You guys want to take our first commercial break, and then we'll come back and hit up the other two divisions?
Cool.
All right, let's do that. We will be right back, everybody, so be ready for the, what other, was it
East and West.
East and West divisions. All right.
Tired of ESPN, Bleacher Report, and every single website out there giving you the same information, the same exact opinions over and over and over? You need to check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com. CleatGeeks gives you everything from wrestling to football to MLB to MMA. They bring you every single thing you need to know as a sports fan. If you're tired of the everyday opinion, make sure you go check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com.
I have been searching and searching and searching for sports memorabilia over and over again, and I can't find a good place to basically find exactly what I need until just recently. PristineAuction.com, they have everything that you can imagine. UFC stuff, NFL, MLB, NBA, they have autographs from players in all those leagues. Pictures, jerseys, helmets, anything you can imagine. You can go on there right now and get a signed Antonio Brown jersey for $150. Framed. Signature. Everything. You can go on there and get some gloves signed by who? Mayweather and McGregor for $550. A little overpriced, but it is what it is. It's an auction. Go on there. Get what you need. PristineAuction.com. Check out their daily deals that they have going on. And, you know, be happy with some of the stuff that you buy. Again, we've been going to Pristine Auction the last couple of months now. We're extremely happy, so hit them up and see what you can get.
Pony Keg Sports, my name is Terry. I have no friends, and I just want to talk about fantasy football. What should I do? Well, Terry, you should go to DraftingSleepers.com. It's a growing community with smart individuals like us at Pony Keg Sports. We will answer your questions. And there's people talking about fantasy football 24/7. If you guys are like Terry and have no friends, go to DraftingSleepers.com, join the community. I'm so tired of so-called prophets giving me terrible fantasy football advice.
I'm tired of these corn-fed cousin kissers on the four-letter network trying to steer my goddamn team into the wall.
And I'm tired of juiced-up, washed-up linebackers trying to pretend like they know fantasy football. Gentlemen, that is exactly why we created Pony Keg Sports, your number one place to go for fantasy football sports every Tuesday night on WBLZ. We got balls, baby. Woo!
All right, everybody, we are back. And we are going to, again, I like our commercial break, so they are pretty comical, if I don't mind saying myself. We are going to go to the other divisions, and we are going to start off with the East. So let's go ahead and start off with the worst team in the East, number four in the division.
I will go ahead and start, and I will do the obvious, the New York Jets. Worst team in football by far. I have them winning one game this year. I have them beating the Buffalo Bills in Week 9 at home. That's my one win for them. And outside of that, listen, they are an absolute train wreck. I hope that they, for their own sake, they just play Hackenberg the whole year. See what you have there. Outside of that, they just have a lot of work. They're trying to build that defense, but it's too soon. They have a tough schedule. They play the Raiders. They play the Patriots. Obviously, they play the Bucks on the road. They play the Panthers at home, the Chargers at home. They go to New Orleans. They go to Denver. They got a rough go at it. They're not a very good team, and they know that. That's fine. 1-15 is my pick for the New York Jets.
I have the Jets as well as the worst team in the NFL, but I have them going 2-14. I have them beating the Bills as well, Tim, and along with the with the Browns. I got them beating the Browns in Week 5. They are doing a complete rebuild. I don't care what anyone says. They should be starting Christian Hackenberg, see what they have in him, see if he can be a franchise quarterback. They're probably not going to do that for some odd reason. But I like what they're doing on the defensive side of the football with Jamal Adams. We were all big-time fans of him. He's a true playmaker. He's a true leader on that defensive side of the football. I kind of feel bad for him, though, because that defense is going to be bad. That whole offense is going to be bad. But him and Marcus May, it's two new tone setters on the defensive side of the football. They're going to start playing like Jets again, playing that hard-nosed defense, and in a couple of years be competing possibly with the Jimmy Garoppolo-led New England Patriots.
I have the Jets, the fourth team in the division at, I wanted to put 0 wins, but I just couldn't. I had to give them a win, so.
I thought you would have them at like 7-9.
Yeah, no, 1 win, 15 losses, 1-5 in the division, again, to the Buffalo Bills. So, kind of everything that you guys said, but they really need a quarterback, and Hackenberg's not the dude. So, they're going to be fighting for one of those top three guys in the NFL draft. Pretty simple to say.
Well, let's talk about who I'm assuming we all have third in the division. That's the team we all have the Jets beating in Week 9, the Buffalo Bills. It seems like now mid-preseason they've decided, hey, you know what? Let's do a complete rebuild as well. I just hate seeing what they're doing. Again, another team where they don't really know who they are, what they're doing. They thought, oh, we might be able to contend. We might have a shot. Now Anquan Boldin, who after committing and saying, hey, I'm committed to the Buffalo Bills, they say, well, wait, never mind. I'm going to retire because I have other things to tend to. Zay Jones I still like, and he's really their guy now. There's really not anyone else there. He's the guy in Buffalo, in my opinion. Obviously, you have Shady McCoy is going to run it for them. I have them at 3-13. I'm sorry. Yeah, 3-13, 2-4 in the division.
I was a little too high on Buffalo, but I have them finishing third as well in the division. But I have them at 5-11. This was before all the trades and them pretty much fire sailing. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw LeSean McCoy being traded away somewhere. There's been some rumblings about him going to Tampa Bay. So be paying attention to Jonathan Williams. He's the number one back up there right now. If you can get him late in the draft, go for it. But they're going to be bad this year, a lot worse than I thought they were going to be. They're going to be able to run the football no matter what running back is in there. Tyrod Taylor is a good running quarterback as well. They have a solid O-line, but it's going to be a rough year in Buffalo. But them just giving up Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby like they did, it's showing signs to come for this team and this franchise.
I honestly think – sorry to cut you off, Josh. I honestly think that they just figured out right now, hey, our team's not that good, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks, and we don't trust Tyrod. Yep. That's what I think happened.
Do you guys think they might have confidence in Nathan Peterman? He has looked good in the preseason. Maybe they think that he is the future, not this year, obviously. Maybe they think down the road, next year or the year after. So maybe that's a possibility. Get a high-rated wide receiver in the draft. The wide receivers next year in the 2018 draft are supposed to be really good. So maybe that's a strong possibility on their part. They saw the writing on the wall, and they said we need to move on from Tyrod Taylor and the Sammy Watkins era and start fresh.
Maybe, but I do believe that if they're high enough, they're going to go for one of those wide receivers, or if not, I'm not a wide receiver, one of those top quarterbacks. And if it's not a quarterback, then they're going to go with a Juice, or they're going to go with a Shaq Barkley.
Yeah, that's true too. So I have them finishing 4-12, third in the division as well. So, next up,
I have the Miami Dolphins finishing at 8-8, 4-2 overall. The Dolphins are a hot pick right now, right? Everyone seems to think that, with Adam Gase, Jay Cutler, now at the helm. Obviously, all these picks were done before Jay Cutler. I might have had them a game better, maybe, with Jay Cutler, but I still feel pretty confident with seeing him for the last X amount of years in Chicago that the Dolphins are going to be 8-8. It's still an offense, I think, built around Jay Ajayi. As he goes, the team goes. I know that they have weapons in Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker, who Jay Cutler seemed to love the first week of the preseason. They're going to have their opportunities, but they have a tough schedule. That's the thing for me. I hate the way that they play the Bucks, the Chargers, and the Saints in the first 4 weeks. I don't like that at all. And then they play the Panthers, Ravens, and Falcons all on the road midseason. They got a tough schedule ahead of them. I like Adam Gase. They're going to have a high-powered offense, I think. But it's not. They're going to have an offense that you love for fantasy value. They're not going to have an offense that translates well enough to be a playoff contending team.
Yeah, Jay Cutler, they're pretty lucky, in all honesty, after they lost Tannehill, that Jay Cutler has played in Adam Gase's system, that he can get used to the system, he knows the system, and he could pretty much go in and play right away coming in off the streets. I have them at 8-8 as well, 4-2 in the division. I think this team, they're going to go as far as Jay Ajayi and that offensive line take them, in all honesty.
Not Jeremy?
Jeremy or
Jason. Yeah, not Jason Ajayi, you schmucks.
But look, they got Mr. Black Ice himself, Charles Harris from Mizzou, to rush Tom Brady. Cordarius Tankersley is another big-time corner that they desperately needed. This team is doing the right things. I just want to see this offensive line stay healthy. If Pouncey can stay healthy, Ajayi is going to have a very good year.
Josh, are you going Dolphins as well here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead and then I'll say.
Number three in the division, the Miami Dolphins. 6 wins, number 10 two. Losses. Two. Or number two, I'm sorry.
6-10.
Yeah, 6-10, guys. Ooh. I don't know. You know how I see this going down. And as funny and as maybe stupid as it sounds, we're going to see a loss, a loss, a win, a loss, a win, a loss. And then Jay Cutler is going to say, you know what? Football, I'm done. And then that's it. And then they're going back to Matt Moore. I don't see Jay Cutler playing the whole year. I really don't, and it's not due to injury. I just feel like he's just going to say, you know what, I'm done.
I will add to this, for a fantasy perspective, Jay Ajayi now should go up a little bit on everyone's PPR boards, in my opinion. From Adam Gase and now Jay Cutler, the combination there, he's going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. They've shown that in the offense. Cutler has shown to love the check down to the running back. And Jay Ajayi is that competent type of running back. It seems like after the concussion protocol that he was in, he's fine. He's doing well. He should have a big year this year. I know that there's talks, is he going to be a bust? I love Jay Ajayi this year.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Tim. That could definitely be, especially with Jay Cutler. I mean, that definitely makes tons of sense.
Who do you guys think is going to be the number one wide receiver in this offense? We saw what Cutler did with Parker in the first preseason game they played together. He was targeting him quite a bit, had a long reception called back, but I believe he only had one catch that counted. But a lot of people right now seem to be worried about Landry.
I don't think anyone should be worried about Landry. Listen, this is Jay Cutler, and if you've looked at him throughout his career, he doesn't have like one go-to guy outside of a running back. He likes more of the running back and tight end checkdowns than he does a big play wide receiver. He's had different guys in different opportunities at wide receiver in Chicago. Look at Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon had one big year for them, but it wasn't a crazy, outrageous year. I still like Jarvis this year. I like Devontae Parker this year. I know I have a bet that he won't be a top 30 wide receiver, I think is the bet. He'll probably be close to that, to be perfectly honest. He'll be right. He'll float around that 30, but Jay Cutler's not a guy to just – this is the only way he's like Tom Brady is. He doesn't focus on one wide receiver. He gets the ball around and prefers his checkdowns.
Number one in the division, who we got?
I will go first. I have the New England Patriots. Shocker. I have them going 15-1. And you know what? They're going to be out there. They're going to be looking good. World beaters going to repeat. Then you're going to potentially go for an undefeated season. Week 11, they go to Oakland, and they play the Raiders. Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, and Amari Cooper are going to do their thing, and they are going to beat the Patriots in Week 11.
to make the Patriots 15-1 for the 2017 season.
I have the Patriots as well, finishing in first place, but I have them 14-2. I have them losing week 11, just like you, Tim, to the Raiders, and then also week 15 when they travel to Pittsburgh. Big Ben, when he's at home, completely different quarterback. As long as he's healthy, I want to see Le'Veon Bell healthy so a team in my eyes can compete against the Patriots. You look, this team completely reloaded. Normally that's not what happens for a Super Bowl winning team, but that's what they did. The additions of Brandon Cooks is going to give this team a legit number one deep threat, and they won the Super Bowl last year without Rob Gronkowski, arguably their number one option for Tom Brady. With the addition of Mike Gillisley, that running back group is better in my eyes, more well-versed. Rex Burkhead. Losing LeGarrette Blount might hurt them a little bit inside the red zone, but between the 20s, I think they're going to be able to move the football just as well. But they lost my boy Derek Rivers, their first draft pick, got in the third round or whatever, to a torn ACL. There's a chance they might bring Rob Ninkovich back. They are hurting a little bit for pass rushers, but the Coney Ealy trade, they made everyone else look like complete morons in this offseason. It's mind-boggling. It sucks that there's a team in the NFL that's so dominant, like the New England Patriots, but they're a straight-up dynasty right now, and we'll see how long Mr. Tom Brady and his cashew-flavored ice cream or whatever he likes is going to stay in the NFL.
Yeah, I have the Patriots there as well. 14-2. I have the loss week 11 to the Raiders, and I actually have them losing to the Miami Dolphins week 14. It'll be a trap game of sorts. So
I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, Tom, you mentioned all those additions and subtractions. There's this guy, you may have heard of him, Brandon Cooks, top 10 wide receiver last year. Gets a ton of downfield play, obviously, in New Orleans last year. And there's a stat out there, just the downfield balls that Tom Brady threw last year to Julian Edelman. Edelman's going to go back to the position that he's known for. And Cooks, if he gets even half those looks downfield, big, big play, adds a totally different dimension to this offense that doesn't even need that type of dimension. So, filthy.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be very interesting to see what they do with Brandon Cooks. So,
they're going to be dominant, unless the Madden curse helps us out and makes football interesting this year. Otherwise, it might be a little boring in the AFC. Yeah.
Tom, you've been predicting since, I believe, the first week of the offseason that Brady's going to go down against the Chiefs week one. All right.
Let's go ahead and move on to the West, which I think is the most competitive division in this AFC.
I have this as the most competitive division by far. In last place, I have the Denver Broncos. I have them at 8-8, 1-5 in the division. That's going to be their downfall. Obviously, they still have their defensive as well. But as Tom said before, they're a quote-unquote three-headed monster at running back. I don't think they know what they're doing yet at running back. C.J. Anderson, is he there? I don't think Jamal Charles is actually going to make the team. Devonta Booker. They have the other kid who torched the Bears. God bless it. What's his name? Rookie, I believe. Regardless, you can figure that out later.
Henderson?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
That's what I'm here for, guys. You're welcome.
Yes. You know, all those guys are going to get some play. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are still huge factors in both a regular game and fantasy, but Trevor Siemian's still their quarterback. That's the biggest issue for them. And if they were in any other division in the AFC, I would like their odds much, much better. But playing against high-powered offenses in the Chargers and the Raiders, playing against a very tough defense in the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't like their odds. 8-8, not a terrible record. I just don't think that they're going to bode well against their own division, and that's why I have them in last place.
I have the Denver Broncos finishing in fourth place as well, finishing at 7-9, 3-3 in the division. But, Tim, you took the words right out of my mouth. Trevor Siemian, they by far, in my eyes, they have the worst quarterback in this division. They probably have the best defense, though, overall. You know, Shane Ray, Von Miller, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris. They got some playmakers in that defense. They can get after the quarterback, stop the passing game. But we've seen them struggle trying to stop the run. And the three other teams in this division can run the football. I think it's going to be another down year for the Broncos. And it's going to be another blatant showing that Trevor Siemian is not the quarterback of the future.
It's funny, as we were just talking about that, I'm looking through, I'm like, man, this does not add up. I'm missing a game. there was one game I missed for the Oakland Raiders and the Chiefs that I just decided on, and that decided on who was going to win the division. So the Chargers I have fourth in the division, 7-9, 1-5 in the division. 7-9 overall, 1-5 in the division. And I like the Chargers. I like the draft picks that they made, but Mike Williams being drafted that high, pick number 7, it just, especially with the injury that with his back, we may not see him for at least 6 games, and who knows, we might not see him for the whole year. And it's kind of a trend now. You look at it, Treadwell, and now Doxson, and now Davis, and now Mike Williams, and believe me, I was the highest person on Mike Williams that you could ask. I mean, we were talking last year, fantasy football, and all I kept saying was, man, I just want Mike Williams to go to the Bucks. Like, that's how much I believe in Mike Williams. But with him being injured, I just don't know how that offense is going to go. Melvin Gordon is also another question mark. Are we going to see Melvin Gordon of last year? Are we going to see Melvin Gordon of the year before? So that'll be another question mark as well. And I just don't know how good that team is going to go, but they've added some offensive weapons. Their defense did get a little bit better, but I just think this division's too tough.
Last thing for me on the Broncos before I'm going to move over here to the Chargers, because that's who I have third. The Broncos, I feel like, are going to fall into the same trap that they did last year between flip-flopping between Simeon and Lynch, because they don't know what they want to do. Another just they're in quarterback hell right now because they have two mediocre guys they can't choose between. Third place, Josh, you mentioned the Los Angeles Chargers. I have them at 9-7. I have them 4-2 in the division. Everything that you said, I love their offensive weapons. I love it. I feel like, with Keenan Allen coming back, with Mike Williams hopefully back by October, obviously not a for sure thing. He could have Kevin White syndrome, never turn into the player that they thought he could be, but I still like him. Tyrell Williams, I think, is extremely underrated. Over 1,000 yards last year. I don't see why any of that would change. And then you have Melvin Gordon, who showed last year that he deserved to be a top running back in this league. If he is what he should be, which is, over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns type of running back, this team is going to have a lot of success. Even with the Broncos having a great defense, they're weak against the run. The Raiders have shown, even with some of their defensive successes, they can give up some runs. They have an opportunity here. I still have them third, so that shows my thoughts on some of the other teams in the division. But I like the Chargers. Pip Rivers, always, he's got 19 kids now, trying to show him that daddy can be strong.
I have third in the division, and it is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Me personally, I like Alex Smith. I think he's going to be the quarterback this year. Patrick Mahomes needs to take a red shirt season, and they're going to say, 10-6 was a very good year. And then they're going to be like, Alex, I'm sorry, 10-6 was good, but it wasn't good enough because we did not win the division title. We did not make the playoffs. Well, actually, I think I do have him making the playoffs, but regardless, they will not go far in the playoffs. I do not have them pretty much going anywhere after that. So I think Alex Smith will be shipped out. And then we'll kind of go from there.
Third place, I have the Chiefs as well. I got them finishing 9-7. Big reason for this for me, I'm not a big fan of their drafts. Look, Patrick Mahomes has been tearing it up. He's looked very good, but he is still a big-time project. You can see when he throws the football off his back foot every third throw, his throwing mechanics is different every throw. That needs to change before he can become that elite quarterback that can lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. Tano Passanio in the second round, he's another big-time project. You're spending your first two-round draft picks on projects. I like the Kareem Hunt pick. He's got a chance to be the guy there in Kansas City. But I just think it's going to be a down year for them. Their defense is getting older. Got a lot of aging pass rushers. Their linebacking core is not the greatest. And we saw what happened last year when Derek Johnson got hurt. He's been getting hurt every year. So we will see. But I have them having a downturn this year and not making the playoffs.
I will keep going on that Kansas City Chiefs wagon, but I'm going to build them up a little bit here. I told you guys after Patrick Mahomes' first start, we have our group chat, right? And I texted you guys and I said, guys, I really think that, one, Patrick Mahomes is going to be
the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. I really think that come week one, it's just going to happen. He was moved up on the depth chart early. Alex Smith does things for your offense where he can just control it. You said every third pass Patrick Mahomes throws off his back foot. It's like every pass. There's no doubt. But one thing we know about Andy Reid is he feels like he knows better than everyone. He feels like, and to his credit, he's been in the league a long time. He's brought guys like Brett Favre, like Donovan McNabb, big-time names, big-time quarterbacks to the forefront. He sees that in Patrick Mahomes. That's why he traded up so highly for him. He sees Patrick Mahomes already can do things at the quarterback position that Alex Smith cannot. Is he going to give up an extra interception or two? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But with the weapons that they have on offense right now, with Kareem Hunt, with Tyreek Hill, with Spencer Ware, with Charizard West, all these guys are going to play a part where I think that the Chiefs are going to see him as, you know what, let our defense carry the heavy load and bring our rookie guy down here, the guy that can get the ball downfield, that can throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field, because Alex Smith can't, and he's our guy of the future. Andy Reid sees that. If it's not week one, it'll be the first half of the season. I guarantee that. He will be the starting quarterback for this team, and it'll be the same way that Alex Smith went out and, you know, he started the season as a quarterback, and then what's his name for the 49ers?
Kaepernick.
Thank you. Colin Kaepernick took over and brought the team to the Super Bowl. Not saying the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, but it's going to be a very similar situation. I have the Chiefs finishing in second place at 11-5, 4-2 in the division.
Second, you said?
Second, yep.
Okay. Who do you have second?
I have the Los Angeles Chargers finishing 10-6 overall, 3-3 in the division. I like the draft for the Chargers. Losing Forrest Lamp and Mike Williams, kind of two big deals. It was their first two overall picks in this class. But I like the addition of Dan Feeney, Rayshon Jenkins, and Desmond King are going to help that secondary out tremendously. I'm really praying that Keenan Allen can stay healthy and him just to have a full season with Phillip Rivers. Those two have an amazing chemistry. But people, if you are drafting Keenan Allen, I'm not a big fan of handcuffing wide receivers. In most cases, it's kind of dumb. But Tim, you brought up Tyrell Williams earlier. Draft him. You can get him super late, and you're pretty much locked in to have the number one pass-catching option for the Chargers. Also, Hunter Henry, kind of going as tight end 11 or 12. Get him, touchdown machine. I think they're going to try to force-feed Gates early on in the year, but Hunter Henry has been tearing it up, averaging over 14 yards per catch in the preseason. He's the guy to own there. I think it's that year where the Chargers don't lose half their team to injuries and that they can finally compete in this division.
I hope so. I like the Chargers a lot, but I have them finishing fourth, and I really hope that they can turn things around.
Seems like every year they just get murdered by injuries.
Second team in the division for me, I have the Denver Broncos finishing 11-5, 4-2 in the division. And, there's really nothing much else to say. We kind of already talked about Trevor Siemian. He's named the starter, pretty much locked up. Paxton Lynch is, I don't think he's going to be the guy. I don't think we'll see. Yes.
I want to know. So you have the four Broncos fans out there, for other AFC West ? People out there. The Broncos have a quarterback controversy still, but even though Trevor Siemian was already declared the starter for week one. They're running backs. They have C.J. Anderson coming off of injury, and then they have a lot of question marks there. Their defense is supposed to be stellar. What do you see out of them that you think can be 11-5?
Their defense. Hands down, their defense. I think their defense is just too good, and I think that'll carry their team, just like the Houston Texans, regardless of terrible quarterback play or mediocrity at the quarterback position. I still think you're going to see C.J. Anderson run the ball, and if it's not C.J. Anderson, I think you're going to see Henderson run the ball. And if it's not Henderson run the ball, it's going to be Devonta Booker whenever he comes back from injury. Somebody's going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball decently enough to where the Broncos here can get a couple wins under their belt. So that's where I have them at. 11-5, second.
I will go with my number one team in the AFC West, the Las Vegas Raiders, even though they're still in Oakland for at least another, what is that, a half decade, something stupid like that?
Maybe a couple years.
Yeah, we'll see. Regardless, I have them at 13-3. I love the Raiders this year. I really do. 13-3. I actually only have them at 3-3 in the division. There's two other teams I have at 4-2 in the division, but 13-3 overall. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper gets a huge year. Tom, I know you love hearing that. It gets you hard just hearing me talk about it.
So hard.
Marshawn Lynch, while I don't think he's going to be a, you know, people have him getting drafted in the second round, that big of fantasy value, he's still going to be their red zone threat, right? I mean, that's just the fact. They added Jared Cook as well, which I know wasn't big outside of the playoffs for the Packers, but still another weapon. And that offensive line cannot be doubted with how good that they are. I feel like Derek Carr is going to come in this year with a chip on his shoulder, thinking that he has something to prove, and I love the Raiders being 13-3.
I have the Las Vegas Raiders also being the top of the division at 11-5, same record as the Denver Broncos. But I really want to put a big thank you to Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Rob Corddry for bringing the Raiders finally to Las Vegas. Ballers reference, everybody. Hopefully you got that. But I like the fact that Ballers is a TV show, and they did bring this into the TV show, so it's pretty cool to see that. Even though it really has,
my wife makes fun of that every week that I watch that.
It's a cool show.
She goes, it's literally just guys talking about being hit in the head, half naked women, and drugs. I go, I know, it's what I would be doing if I didn't have you and my kids.
It's perfect, the NFL right there. So I kind of same thing that you said. I think we're going to see the Amari Cooper show. I think we're really going to see that breakout year. And I still think Crabtree's going to have a decent year. Being the number one wide receiver on the team, no. For fantasy purposes, it's going to be Amari Cooper. And then as much as I don't believe in Marshawn Lynch this year, it gives him a running back that can still score touchdowns, because we saw what Latavius Murray could do.
Yeah, there's a lot of people right now that are ranking Marshawn Lynch as a top 10 running back. I'm not a big-time believer in that. They've come out and said that they're going to try to keep him under 200 total touches. But he will have that Latavius Murray, or as we like to call him, layabouts Murray role, where he's going to get a ton of goal line looks, because this offense is tremendous, and it's probably the best offensive line he's ever ran behind. I really like what the Raiders did in the draft early on, getting cornerback Arian Connolly, one of the best corners in this draft, safety Obi Melinfanu, and then Eddie Vanderdoes. It's going to help their defense out. They need to improve on the defensive side of the football. This team couldn't stop a nosebleed last year, and they need to get better if they want to be real contenders. But let's just pray that Carr can stay healthy. It was a huge disappointment last year when he got taken out by that group of bullies from Indianapolis.
that defense, the additions that they made, is going to make Khalil Mack even scarier.
Yes.
It's going to make him the best. Everyone thought J.J. Watt was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I feel like Khalil Mack's going to have that type of year this year, where he'll be on the Madden cover next year. He's going to be the talk of every town. Everyone's going to be talking about him for MVP on the defensive side of the ball. I'm talking like 15, 16 sacks, scary dude type of season from Khalil Mack this year. Fact.
Fact.
Fact. Wow, remember right. That down.
Do you guys want to go through the wild card and
yeah, let's
all that
do
stuff?
It, and then we'll take our last break.
Okay. What do you guys got? Who wants to go first?
I'll start it off. I will do wild card weekend. I have the number 6 Los Angeles Chargers against the number 3 Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. The Steelers do what the Steelers do, and Pitt Rivers is not able to beat one Big Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's injured and 100 years old. The Steelers win that game. In the other game, I have the Colts at 4 against the Chiefs at 5 in Indy. The Chiefs' defense is able to shut down Andy Luck because he's not able to get any run game going, and the Chiefs move on to the championship weekend, or divisional round, I should say.
My wild card, I got the Chargers at Indy. I got the Colts winning that one, and I have the Bengals traveling to Oakland with the Oakland Raiders winning.
All right. For my wild card, I have the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Cincinnati Bengals. I have the Chiefs winning. And then I have the Denver Broncos going to the Houston Texans. And I have the Denver Broncos winning that matchup. So,
let's move on to the divisional weekend. I have the Steelers going to Oakland and playing the Raiders. Derek Carr, 2-3. I hope this happens. I would love nothing more than this game. Raiders-Steelers, two top teams. Steelers kind of on their way out. One last big push. Raiders, their first big kind of divisional series weekend with Carr and everyone healthy. I have the Oakland Raiders beating this Pittsburgh Steelers and moving on to AFC Championship weekend. And on the other side of the bracket, the New England Patriots against the Kansas City Chiefs in Foxborough. It's a no-brainer. The Patriots torch the Chiefs and move on to the AFC Championship game to play their only defeat of the regular season, the Oakland Raiders.
I have the Oakland Raiders, the number 3 seed, traveling to Pittsburgh and losing to the Steelers. They're a completely different team at home. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense firing on all cylinders, and their pass rushers get the job done against Carr. And I have my Indianapolis Colts traveling to Foxborough. It's a – never mind. It's not going to be an upset. Pats own the Colts, and I'm going to have the Colts – or the Pats going to the AFC Championship game once again.
I have the Kansas City Chiefs going to the New England Patriots. New England Patriots winning that game, and I have the Denver Broncos going – to the Oakland Raiders, and man, I would love to see the Broncos and the Patriots, but the Oakland Raiders will win that game at home, and they will be facing off with each other.
So Josh and I both have the Raiders and the Patriots. Tom, who's your AFC Championship game?
Steelers-Patriots.
Steelers-Patriots. So I have Oakland going to Foxborough. Again, New England at 15-1. You know, in the regular season, they're only lost to the Raiders. I have a very close game, but the Patriots win by a field goal, beat the Oakland Raiders, and go back to the Super Bowl and look to defend their title against the team that they came back from 28-3 down, the Atlanta Falcons, in the Super Bowl.
The New England Patriots rarely lose a home playoff game, but they do this year to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
The Steelers go into Foxborough and get to the Super Bowl. This is Big Ben's last year in my eyes, and they're going to go out on top.
Big Ben can't play on the road, but he goes into Foxborough?
It's going to happen.
Ooh, big
Martavis Bryant.
I have the Oakland Raiders going into Foxborough. Patriots win. Patriots go to the Super Bowl, and they lose to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, you're already giving your Super Bowl prediction.
I'm doing it right now. There, throwing big, it down there. Fella.
All right, so you have you. So Josh will go right there. You have the Packers and the Patriots then.
Yep.
And what's your score? What do you see going on here?
I didn't really have a score.
All right.
And then I was too excited with the matchup.
All right. So you have the Packers winning, Aaron Rodgers getting his second Super Bowl ring, yep. And beating for the second time. Didn't they beat the Patriots? Well, I know when Favre won, they beat the Patriots. They beat the Steelers. I think they beat the Steelers when Rodgers won his first
round. We're on a blank. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Tom, you talk about your Super Bowl predictions.
At the Super Bowl, it's the Green Bay Packers versus Steelers. I have the Steelers winning. It's going to send Big Ben Roethlisberger out on top. He knows when to retire, and it's going to be a new generation for the Pittsburgh Steelers after this year's Super Bowl win.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was correct on that in 2011. Awkward that I'm right for a change.
Doesn't happen too often.
No, sure doesn't. But every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. So it is what it is. I have a return. You never see in football the same exact Super Bowl year after year. I am a oddity in thinking that Matt Ryan has a chip on his shoulder now that he's going to carry the Falcons back to the Super Bowl. The Falcons against the Patriots. The Falcons didn't even win their division. They are a wild card team. They play against the Patriots, and this time they get a field goal to win the game. Matt Ryan wins the Super Bowl, gets a little bit of justification from last year. The Atlanta Falcons are your Super Bowl champion.
You know Matt Ryan retired, right?
I'm just yeah, joking. You wish.
But yeah, it's kind of like the NBA almost, right? We're gonna see the goddamn Cavs versus Golden State.
See, I, when I was doing this, it's funny you mentioned the NBA, Josh, because when I was doing this, I didn't think of that.
I thought of, think about 5 years ago, Boston Celtics versus LA Lakers, how they had back-to-back years like that. And you had the Boston with their big three. LA was Kobe's, you know, his final stuff. That's what I think this is. It's Boston's, you know, big time. And obviously they lost the first one to the Lakers. I kind of see it. The Falcons are the Celtics. They got their all their stuff together. They are what they are. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year, fellas.
Biggest shock of this whole thing? I think me picking the Steelers not to even be close.
Yep.
Anything else for anybody? I think
we're pretty similar on most things. I was a little shocked that I had the Bengals at 9-7. Like, I wasn't going back and rechanging games.
Yeah.
If I had to pick just off the top of my head, I probably would have had the Bengals finishing third in the AFC North and not making the playoffs. But in this case, they made the playoffs.
I guess the biggest thing that I have is I might switch up. The fact that I have the Chiefs at the 5 seed, and I do truly, truly believe that they're going to have a quarterback switch here, if not right away, early in the season. And I might have the Chargers and Chiefs switch. So the Chargers are then the 5 and the Chiefs are the 6. Again, not a huge one, but still something that I think.
All right, everybody, that's all we have for you guys in this episode. That is our AFC playoff predictor, and you guys can listen to our NFC playoff predictor as well if you guys go online. Check out our podcast. Do it from your phones. Do it from wherever you want. iTunes, Google Play, everything. Again, you guys can follow us on Twitter, at PonyCake Sports, at PonyCake Tom, at PonyCake Tim. You guys can hit us up on our website, PonyCakeSports.com. So go there, and yeah, that's all we have for you guys, and until next time.